The Power FM News, brought to you by Techno Accessories. Techno, say hello to original.
Bringing you hot off the press news from Lusaka, Arkabwe, Livingstone, and Copperbelt News Bureau. The Power FM News. FM News.
United Capital Fertilizer Zambia Company Limited, UCF, set to officially open the 85-megawatt power plant. Zambia on track with debt servicing. In international news, South Africa says ICJ genocide case will continue despite Gaza ceasefire. Bafana Bafana became the latest African national team to qualify for the 2026 World Cup.
And now, Power FM News.
Upfront and reliable news every day. I'm Chris Fungi. United Capital Fertilizer Zambia Company Limited, UCF, a subsidiary of the wonderful group of companies, is today expected to commission the 85-megawatt power plant situated in Chilanga District. The company has been constructing the ammonia and urea plant for the past 2.5 years at a total investment cost of $595 million. As part of the production process, the plant will also generate 85 megawatts of power through the retention of excess heat and syngas, or as a byproduct of the ammonium and urea production. The overall project has reached over 97% completion, having successfully switched on the boilers and initiated raw material feedstock loading to facilitate both system testing and commencement of the initial production process. The power plant component is now 100% complete and ready to begin generating and evacuating electricity onto the national grid. President Hara in the HMI is expected to officially open the power plant. In another development, opposition Democratic Union DU leader Ake Munjovu has criticized government for its lack of honesty regarding the ongoing load shedding situation in the country. Ms. Njovu said it was embarrassing for the Minister of Energy to announce that compounds would be receiving 10 hours of uninterrupted power supply, only for the power utility company to inform the nation that the said areas will receive 4 hours of power due to challenges in electricity generation and access. Ms. Njovu said it is unfair for the minister to make pronouncements about improved power supply without having accurate information on the full extent of the power generation deficit, hence challenging the government to admit failure in its handling of the energy crisis. Finance and National Planning Minister Dr. Stumbeko Msokotwane, MP, says following the restructuring of Zambia's eligible debt and signing of agreements, the country is now back on track with debt service payments. Speaking on the sidelines of the ongoing 2025 annual meetings of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the World Bank Group in Washington, D.C., USA, the minister said Zambia is currently on restructured debt. He further explained that government has adequately provided all payments for all structured debt in the 2026 national budget.
In the 2026 budget, we have provided for all the payments of the structured debt as per agreement. And I'm happy to say that even what was agreed in 2025, we have serviced all the debts as per agreement in 2025. That's why in the middle of the year, we had to go back to Parliament to adjust the budget to the supplementary. And I can confirm that since then we have been current on all restructured debt. In a similar manner, going to 2026, all the agreed structured debt will be serviced.
Patriotic Front PFACTION President Given Luvinda has accused the ruling United Party for National Development, UPND, of using the arms of government to undermine and weaken the opposition party since its loss in the 2021 general elections. Mr. Luvinda said the ruling party has allegedly worked through the executive, legislature and judiciary to frustrate the PFX's existence, explaining that internal disputes within the party are a result of internal interference rather than internal disunity. He noted that despite challenges following the 2021 defeat, OPF structures remain intact and the Central Committee continues to meet regularly. According to Mr. Luvinda, the loss initially led to some members leaving or becoming inactive, but many have since returned after realizing that the PF remains active and continues to grow. He emphasized that unlike many political parties that fade after losing power, that the PF has become stronger over time. Mr. Luvinda stated that if the same level of enthusiasm seen now had been present immediately after the 2021 elections, and if there had been no external pressures, the party would be in an even stronger position. He also assured citizens that the PF is capable of organizing for an election within a short period, saying that 3 months would be sufficient to mobilize and mount a competitive campaign, acknowledging that the party should have started preparations earlier, but attributed delays to various challenges. He expressed confidence that the upcoming PF convention will provide solutions to internal issues and position the party to field candidates at all levels, from presidential to parliamentary and local government, ahead of the next general elections.
The UPND have been working extremely hard through the executive, through the legislature, and now by implication through the judiciary to ensure that the Patriotic Front does not exist. So all these squabbles are as a result of that. It is not because there isn't any harmony and unity in the Patriotic Front, because by and large all our structures are intact and the Central Committee is meeting regularly. I have to concede though that, and I'm sure that a lot of my colleagues in the Central Committee will vouch for this, soon after elections in 2021, quite a number of our people scampered left, right and centre, but that was to be expected. Not everybody is strong enough to withstand loss. There are some people who decided to just remain mute, others decided to even resign. There were people who tendered resignations from the Patriotic Front, but with time, when they have realized that the Patriotic Front is still going and is still growing, they decided to come back.
In international news, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa says the Gaza ceasefire will not affect the country's genocide case against Israel at the International Court of Justice, ICJ. Ramaphosa made the statement on Tuesday in Cape Town in Parliament, stressing that South Africa's determination to pursue its 2023 case, despite the argument on the widely loaded US-backed deal aimed at ending Israel's war on the besieged territory. South Africa filed the case in December 2023 accusing Israel of genocidal acts in Gaza. South Africa handed in a 500-page detailed submission in October 2024, with Israel's counter-arguments due by January 12, 2026. Oral hearings are anticipated in 2027, with a final judgment expected in late 2027 or early 2028. The ICJ has issued 3 provisional measures ordering Israel to prevent genocidal acts and allow humanitarian aid into Gaza, though Israel has largely failed to comply. More than 67,000 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza since October 2023, according to Palestinian health authorities. Ramaphosa emphasized that real healing requires the case being properly heard. Still in international news, Kenyans took to the streets of Nairobi on Wednesday to mourn the death of former Prime Minister Raila Odinga. Odinga passed away on Wednesday after suffering a heart attack in India, where he was traveling. He was 80 years old. While he never became president, he was a revered figure and statesman, and enjoyed a lasting following in Kenya and beyond. Odinga's supporters affectionately called him Baba, a Kiswahili word reserved for a father figure. Odinga was a key architect of Kenyan politics. He was one of the founding fathers of multi-party democracy in the East African country. Odinga also served as Prime Minister from 2008 to 2013. Despite 5 unsuccessful presidential bids, he remained an influential political force over the years. We'll monitor the African news in the following report.
Kenyans took to the streets of Nairobi on Wednesday to mourn the death of former Prime Minister Raila Odinga. Odinga passed away on Wednesday after suffering a heart attack in India, where he was traveling. He was 80 years old. While he never became president, he was a revered figure and statesman, and enjoyed a lasting following in Kenya and beyond. Odinga's supporters affectionately called him Baba, a Kiswahili word reserved for a father figure. I was in the house preparing to have tea when I saw on the internet that Baba was dead. I